Last week I spoke some about the final passage of what's called the Fukan Zazengi by Eihei Dogen. Dogen was the founder of Soto Zen, and he was born in 1200 and traveled to China. He trained in the Tendai tradition, and then had this burning question: if we are already awakened, why practice? You know, and that drove him. He went to China, which was a perilous journey in those years, and studied with various teachers. Could somebody close the window again? Thanks. And he had a profound experience while he was in China. And his teachings flowed from that. And when he came back, he wrote a book. He wrote many fascicles. He was brilliant. Many fascicles. Here's a picture of it, if you're interested.
Yes.
Here's dude. But one of the first things he wrote was Fukan Zazengi, the universal principles of Zazen. And then he rewrote it over all the time, over his life. He rewrote it, adapted it. So you'll find various versions. The last section has a lot to tell us about our lives, what we want them to be, how we want them to be, who we want to express in the world. So I'm gonna read you the last section and then talk a little bit about it and how it relates to smartphones. You have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not use your time in vain. You are maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. Who would take wasteful delight in the spark of the Flintstone? Besides, form and substance are like the dew on the grass. Destiny, like a dart of lightning, emptied in an instant, vanished in a flash. Please, honored followers of Zen, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, do not be suspicious of the true dragon. Devote your energies to a way that directly indicates the absolute. Gain accord with the enlightenment of the Buddhas. Succeed to the legitimate lineage of the ancestor Samadhi. Constantly perform in such a manner, and you will be assured of being a person such as they. Your treasure store will open of itself, and you will use it as well, at will. Or another translation is, the treasure store will open of itself. It is up to you to use it freely. So there's many translations of this. But the first part, when I spoke a bit about this last week, you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not use your time in vain. It means, how do we pay attention to the fleeting life that we have? How do we pay attention and know what's important? How do we not use our time in vain? What does that even mean? And this pivotal opportunity means a pivot, means in every moment we have the opportunity to shift our vision and to shift who we are. Every single moment. It's not a special moment. It's every moment. So that pivot is the key. That ability to pivot, to turn, to transform, to wake up to what is most essential to us. And then he goes on to say, you are maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. So that means we have to take responsibility, right? It means you, not someone else, not the monk up in the mountains or the person down the street or somebody who's smarter than you or more patient than you or whatever, fill in the blank. But you are maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. This world that we live in is according to the Buddha Dharma, a web of complete interdependence. Everything working together always. Everything working together always. There is no self other than this. Moment to moment to moment, dynamic arising. And every single aspect of that reality makes that reality. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that reality, right? That reality of each moment includes the whole universe. There isn't anything ever that's excluded. Dogen Zenji said, nothing is hidden. Everything is included. So that means you are included. Everything works together to make this moment, this moment. So we have a responsibility to pay attention to that. What world do we want to make? You know, in this moment, what reality do you want to inhabit? That's one way of talking about it. So I was reading this article on smartphones. How many of you have a smartphone? How many of you have ever had an ambivalent relationship with a smartphone? Yeah. Smartphones are quite interesting entities, and I'm going to share with you some of the research that I was reading about. You know, it's very easy to blame them, right? It's very easy to blame technology. It's technology's fault. You know, it's a smartphone's fault that I'm not paying attention. It's some other thing. But another way to look at it is it's a challenge posed to us as human beings to decide how we're going to live. I was thinking about this in terms of a physical challenge. So if you're going to climb a mountain, or I know some of you climb walls, right? You have to be intelligent about how you use your body, right? So if you're going to climb a mountain and it's a challenge to you, you have to think, okay, how much, what do I need? How much can I carry on my back? What shoes do I need? How am I going to put my feet? How am I going to hold my body? What am I going to do to meet this challenge? So there's a self-reflection and a groundedness in the way you meet the challenge. You don't just kind of, if you haphazardly take on a really daunting task like that, the chances are good that you'll get injured or stranded, right? Isn't that true? So then you could be like the person up on Half Dome calling on your cell phone saying, come and get me, please. This happens. I'm tired. Send the helicopter. You know. So we take Dogen Zenji is saying, you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Don't waste your time. Don't use it in vain. You are maintaining the Buddha way. You are maintaining, and the Buddha way is the way of awakening, the way of compassion, the way of kindness, the way of living in this world, of this world, with this world, in such a way that all beings are supported. So when I read this article from the Wall Street Journal, the title of it was, How Smartphones Hijack Our Minds. Right. And I won't go into all the details, but I found it very interesting how we keep them close, come to rely on them, checking messages, the anxiety that can occur. For some people, you know, I'm too old to have this anxiety, I think. But if you are reliant on it, it can become extremely disturbing if it's not available to you, right? Why? So they ask this question. So what happens to our minds when we allow a single tool such dominion over our perception and cognition? What happens to our minds when we allow a single tool, what did they say, such dominion over our perception and cognition? Now, this is not just about smartphones. This is about everything. It could be televisions. It could be... I was thinking when the printing press came into being, our memory shrunk. I mean, if you look at oral cultures, the amount of information that one person... people memorize the whole Quran. People memorize... They have an amazing capacity. We have an amazing capacity for memory. But how often do we do that? How many of you memorize even a poem or a sutra? Anybody? So this is not just smartphones. It's how do we pay attention to this leakage that happens so that we don't take responsibility for our own lives and our own awakening. It's so easy. Let's say, I went and saw The Post last night. Mm-hmm. Anybody seen that mm-hmm. movie? And I was wondering, I thought, how many movies has Meryl Streep been in? So what do? You have that question. You look it up, right? This is not a problem, except if it becomes, it colonizes, it takes dominion over our lives. I was also struck in that movie by the courage. The courage of one person risking their lives. Not their physical life, but their wealth, their status, their job, their, you know, for the sake of others. Quite powerful, especially an underestimated woman who said, no, this is my decision and I'm choosing all beings. I'm choosing the truth as I see it. This is the kind of one of the things that smartphones and such things do for us is they force us to pay attention a lot. Because it's so easy, it's so close in, it's so easy to say, oh, I'll just reach for this. So what they found in some of these things, not only do our phones shape our thoughts in deep and complicated ways, but the effects persist even when we aren't using the devices. So they did these different experiments. And they just had the phone sitting there, not even on, just sitting there. And they found that people were more distracted, less focused, waiting. Is it going to ping? Is there somebody out there for me? You know? This shapes the self. It shapes who we are. When we allow such devices or such tendencies in our lives, we can become very lazy. We cannot take the pivotal opportunity of human form. And the thing about human form is that we're vulnerable. We're quite vulnerable to such seductions, especially when they're engineered to pull us. Like, have you ever noticed if you go online, it'll say things like, well, this happened, but they don't tell you what happened? Can you feel that moment of curiosity? We have in psychology, there's a gestalt, right? To complete the picture, we have an innate desire to complete the picture. To have a half-done picture is very irritating to us as human beings. So what that means is a half-done picture is presented to you. There's something that's like, this is where curiosity kills the cat, right? Mm-hmm. Where you say, well, I don't really care about what that picture is, but I feel a compulsion to complete it. So there's all of these ways in which the world that we live in plays us unless we make a different choice. So there's another line. Why leave behind the seat that exists in your home and go off to the dusty realms of other lands? So once when I was trying to decide, well, actually I was on my way to moving to England, and I was struck studying this. Oh my God, am I leaving behind the seat that exists in my home and going off to the realms of, dusty realms of other lands? And my teacher said, no, just put one foot in front of the other and sometimes it takes you to the train station. So it's not that we don't use smartphones or travel or allow the world to impinge on us and pull us and be engaged. It's not like that at all. We don't wall ourselves off. What we do is recognize the challenge and say, well, what is the seat of my home? And how am I going to have a certain kind of discipline that brings me back? How do I know what's most important to me? How do I know that? What do I institute in my life that reminds me of what's most important to me? And then how do I make the effort to return to it when it's so easy to be distracted? And maybe I want to be distracted sometimes. Okay. Go see the post. Go online and check your Facebook page. Whatever. This is not evil. It's just a challenge for us to remember who we are. It says here, when people hear the phone ring but are unable to answer it, their blood pressure spikes, their pulse quickens, and their problem-solving skills decline. So, if we put these things away, lock them up, turn them off, keep them away from us, we have a different world that we live in for that moment. Smartphones have become so entangled with our existence that even when we're not peering or pawing at them, they tug at our attention, diverting precious cognitive, or I would say emotional, or spiritual, or physical resources. Just suppressing the desire to check our phone, which we do routinely, subconsciously throughout the day, can debilitate our thinking. So again, I don't want to demonize smartphones. I want us to think about the world that we live in, the complicated world that we live in. The evidence that our phones can get inside our heads so forcefully is unsettling. It suggests that our thoughts and feelings, far from being sequestered in our skulls, can be skewed by external forces that we are not even aware of. I would say that's human form. We don't even know often when our world is diffused, when we've slid off what's most important to us. He says, Dogen says, who would take wasteful delight in the spark of a Flintstone? Besides, form and substance are like the dew on the grass, destiny like a dart of lightning, emptied in an instant, vanished in a flash. We know that when we attend to impermanence, when we attend to our own mortality. When we notice the preciousness of our own ability to cognize, to feel, to long, to be alive, we pay attention more, don't we? You know? If we think we're going to live forever, it's, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll sit zazen 2 years from now after I retire. Or 10 years or 20 years or whatever. And I'll tell somebody I love them next week. You know, that we get lazy. But when we are awake to the challenges of our lives, we make choices. And then we say, well, what's the basis of my choices? What matters? What matters to me? What are my priorities? How do I wake up in the midst of taking care of teenage children, working at my job, finding a new place to live, you know, calling my mom who just got admitted to the nursing facility, whatever, you know? This is where we really, 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 the rubber hits the road. Dogen says, please, he's begging us, please, honored followers of Zen, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, to not be suspicious of the true dragon. So please, human beings who are alive and want to be truly alive, that's what a follower of Zen is, right? We have our own way, but we have our own very specific way, our own very specific teaching. But I believe Dogen's saying, that's good, but you're a human being, figure out some way to wake up. Long accustomed to groping for the elephant, I'm sure many of you, all of you, have heard the story about the people, blind people touching the elephant. And some people touch the side of the elephant and they say the elephant is a wall. Some people touch the trunk and say the elephant is a rope. Some people touch the leg and say the elephant is a tree. Right? They all have their perceptions because they can't see clearly. Now, if they all get together and listen to one another, they'll might have a chance of figuring out what the elephant is. If they stick to their own vision, their own limited perceptions, then they'll be attached to what they think the elephant is. So Dogen is saying, please, those of you, which is all of us, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, do not be suspicious of the true dragon. So this last part, a bit about the true dragon, relates to the story in which there was a man or a woman who loved dragons and had a little hut or shop in his backyard in which he carved dragons. And he was really good at carving dragons. And he was devoted to carving dragons because he loved dragons. So he carved dragons, he carved dragons, and he had this shed, artist studio, whatever, filled with images of dragons. So the dragons got together and they said, this guy really loves dragons. We should go visit him. So a dragon comes down and goes into his hut with him, and he's scared to death. And he doesn't believe that it's a real dragon. He does not believe. He's confronted with the true dragon, and he doesn't believe it. He's suspicious. This couldn't be. This scares me. This is not right. I know what dragons are. I've been carving them all my life. This is not a true dragon. This is where we live, because we think maybe there's some other more fancier carved dragon, and we know what that is. Mm-hmm. But the true dragon is this moment, right? And he's saying, please, you know, you're fumbling around, you're a human being, we all do it. You're fumbling around, groping for the elephant, thinking, surely it's this wall, or surely it's a tree, or surely it's this, or surely it's that. Don't be suspicious of the true dragon. The true dragon is visiting you right now. It's not your idea of enlightenment. It's this moment. When we take this on, this question, this challenge, to actually greet the true dragon each moment, and that we take our lives seriously, and the opportunity of our lives, our human life, is to greet the true dragon in each moment, to become the true dragon in each moment, then we have the kind of inner scaffolding, so to speak, to relate to the distractions and ideas and all of the things, that all the challenges that are presented in our world. We have some stability. Yeah? Does that make sense? He says, devote your energies to a way that directly indicates the absolute. So, it means make choices. Make choices in your life. Devote your energies to a way that directly indicates the absolute. Well, the absolute is just this. This moment. Add another one. This moment directly indicates the absolute. We say, sit sadhan. We say, be kind to people. We say, pay attention. I said this before, but I went to Aheji for a big ceremony, and I was very tired afterwards, and it was 2 days later, and I knew I'd put my shoes somewhere, and I couldn't find my shoes, and everybody was waiting for me. And the priest that was guiding us through this process, in Japan they call me Doyo. Doyo-san, pay attention. So I have that in my head. Doyo-san, pay attention. I'll do something, I'm distracted. Doyo-san, Iji-san's voice in my head. Doyo-san, pay attention. So we need that. We need to hear that. Mark-san, pay attention. So, because it's so easy. I was nervous when I got there, and I was so careful to put my shoes in the right place, and then I couldn't remember. Everybody's waiting, and you're like, oh, man. Doyo-san, pay attention. And the thing is, it's not for perfection's sake. It's about being alive. Because we are going to, guaranteed, we're going to mess up, right? So we fall down, we pick ourselves up, we fall down, we pick ourselves up. And in the middle of that, we remember our priorities. We remember, devote your energies to a way that directly indicates the absolute. That means when you're sitting, listening to somebody, and you're distracted, pay attention. Really listen to them. Not figuring out what you're going to say. When you're handling the things of your life, dishes, handle them with respect. Don't drop the knife. Set it down. When you're walking, pay attention to the breeze, to the sky. When you're at work, devote yourself to your work. So, this is the way that directly indicates the absolute. To pay attention to the distractions, to pay attention to what we think might be distractions, but are actually what's the most important thing. But it may just not be convenient. We can't know these things unless we attend to our own priorities. And unless we really are serious about waking up to the true dragon with the true dragon. Unless we want to find out what is this way that directly indicates the absolute. So when we do this, we gain accord with the enlightenment of the Buddhas. We succeed to the legitimate lineage of the ancestor samadhi. Now, samadhi is deep meditation practice, right? Do you believe that you are capable of gaining accord with the enlightenment of Buddhas, succeeding to the legitimate lineage of the ancestor samadhi? Do you believe that about yourself? Or do you think it's somebody else's job? It's not. It's not somebody else's job. And it's not some other kind of person's job. That's a convenient story that we tell ourselves to avoid responsibility. I don't mean to be too demanding, but it's true. He says, constantly perform in such a manner and you will be assured of being a person such as they. Constantly perform in such a manner and you will be assured of being a person such as they. You will be a person such as they. If we act in this way, in that moment, we are awakened. Shinshu talks a lot about driving because it's a challenge for her, right? When you let somebody pull in front of you, that's a moment of awakening. You're granting something to yourself and to that other person. When you're kind to your neighbor, you know? When you, in all of these ways, constantly perform in such a manner and you will be assured of being a person such as that. You are assured. In that moment, you are assured. In the Jodo-Shin tradition, there's a lot of talk about entrustment. Entrusting our lives to the Amida Buddha's vow. Different, but this sense of assured is important for us. That we feel assured that we are capable, that we can in that moment be and are a person such as they. And then I prefer the other translation of this last line in this bit. Well, the last two lines. Continue to live in such a way and you will be such a person. Even if you don't think so. So, Dogen talks a lot about, you know, you think you know what awakening is, right? You think you know. But, you know, it's beyond your thought. Doesn't, you know, if you, whether you think it or not, it's there. So, continue to live in such a way and you will be such a person. If you live in that moment, if your life is a kind life, if you listen to that other person, that is awakening, whether you think so or not. The treasure store will open of itself, and it's up to you to use it. The treasure store of your own skillful means, the treasure store of your own bodhisattva heart, the treasure store of your own gifts and capacities will open, and it's up to you to use it, to use it to manifest awakening in the world and to support all beings. So I suggest to you to use your smartphones as an opportunity to practice. And all the other things that are in your life that you can that can either have dominion over you or that you can relate to from a base of your own priorities and awakening. Same as sitting zazen, right? Thoughts come, we don't invite them to tea. We don't pack up our bags and jump on that thought and go for a ride. Or when we do, we say, oh, did it again. Unpack our bags and settle down. We have multiple opportunities to notice what is most important to us, to discover for ourselves what is most important to us, and to live that out in the multiple choices that we make in each day, to live a life of awakening, which is to be devoted to awakening, to use the treasure store. So it's not that we do these things in order to become awakened later on. It is that in each moment that we make this choice, we are awakened. We are manifesting awakening. We are returning. So again, I encourage you to look at the ordinary dimensions of your life and be curious about what you're doing and how who you want to be in relationship to those things, because it really is important. It's important for you and for all beings to do that.